Attention musicians of all levels. It's not always easy picking out a song by ear. Sometimes you need a little help. Well, I have the app for you. Whether you're a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. They're all available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. You can find out any song you want. It also has like transpose button. It has auto scroll that you can change the speed to so you can play along with the song. A lot of the songs have the lyrics there so you can sing along with them. Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone today and start playing. Start playing any song you want. Ultimate Guitar, that's the place for you. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. I had a good week. Yeah, I did, man. I did a lot of podcasting, did a lot of music playing. I've been doing a lot of song learning for a gig I picked up that I'll be starting, I think, next week. I'm not quite sure yet. I went to a dinner party with friends. That was so fucking fun. It was so fun. There were people I haven't seen in a long time. A lot of people I've played with, a lot of people I play with still, a lot of people I record with, a lot of people I've just loved for decades. Really, really wonderful time. I was there from like 7:30 till 3 in the morning. Honestly, that's insane. It was a great time. Just fabulous, man, hanging out with friends. Hey, gang, I want to let you know if you're listening to this show the day it comes out, Friday, February 17th. Tomorrow, Saturday, February 18th, Skyrocket will be playing in the Texas Hill Country at Mercer Dance Hall in Dripping Springs, Texas. Come on out. The show is at 8. Doors are at 7. If you want to find out more about how to get tickets, get involved, what the deal is, go to skyrockettheband.com and look at our tour dates there. It's a fun place out there. It's like a giant, it is like a giant dance hall. And it's cool because it's kind of set in the middle of nowhere. You know, like you're driving along and then boom, there's this place. And it's run by an old friend of mine that was a bass player of Panic Choir. This guy, Nick, great guy. Fabulous family. Is like his mom's there, his wife's there, his kids are there. It's a whole family run operation. It's a great place. So if you live in Dripping Springs or the surrounding area, like the Wimberleys or whatever, come on out to Mercer Dance Hall. It's going to be a good time. Skyrocket puts on the show, even in the Hill Country. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Ariel Hartley, front person for Los Angeles-based art rock band Pearl Earl, is my guest on the show today. We have a really great conversation. They've been releasing some singles that are going to be on an album that's coming out a little bit later this year. The singles are You're Not a God, which you'll hear on the show today, and Evil Does It. They also have some other releases that are out there. You can go to pearlearl.com to find out more about them. Man, we had a really great conversation. Their music's really great. She reached out. She's on a label called Green Witch Recordings, who I don't really know them, but somehow we've been kind of like, I've been getting some artists from them and they've been suggesting that they come on the show. And I think they have really great taste in music and they're doing really cool shit. I'm loving all of these independent labels and the movement that's happening. Even here in Austin, we've got the Space Flight, we've got 9 Mile Records, we've got a lot more record labels. Green Witch Recordings, I think is, you know what? I don't even know where they're located. Anyway, they're a great label. You look them up. They're really, really fantastic. Anyway, Pearl Earl, they will be on tour all of March, pretty much. From March 8th to March 26th, they will be on tour with a band called System Exclusive, and they are coming through Texas. On March 10th, they'll be in Denton at the Rubber Gloves Rehearsal Studio. On March 11th, they'll be at Three Links 10-Year Anniversary in Dallas, Texas. March 12th, they'll be at Continental Club in Houston. And March 15th through 18th, they will be at South by Southwest playing 4 different showcases. As I said, go to pearlearl.com or follow them on Instagram. It seems like Instagram's a little more immediate information place. You can follow them on Instagram at Pearl Earl Music. That's their band. We have a really great conversation about growing up in Denton. She's actually from Texas. The band is actually from Texas and moved out to California just after the pandemic. She did a trip. She went up to Minnesota. Then she went to during the pandemic, and then she went to LA. Finally made it out to LA after the pandemic. We have a great conversation about touring, about songwriting, about all kinds of stuff, man. I hope that you enjoy my conversation with this incredibly talented woman from the amazing all-female band Pearl Earl. This is me and Ariel Hartley chatting it up. Let's get down. What's the drummer's name?
Her name's Bailey.
Okay. All right. And she's the other one that's in the pictures with you?
Yep.
Okay. All right. And congratulations on getting into South by Southwest.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do you guys know what day you're playing or where or anything yet?
Yeah. They haven't been officially announced, but we are going to be doing the 16th, the 17th, the 18th. We have like 4 confirmed shows. We're doing 2 official South by cases or showcases.
Shit.
Yeah, and one's at like for Levitation. So that's I don't know if I'm allowed to announce that though.
Well, this won't be coming out for a couple weeks, so
perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you've done South by though before, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the band's been around for like 9 years at this point. And you formed in Denton?
Yeah, in this August will be like 9 years, which is crazy.
Wow. I know, you look like a baby. How old were you when you guys started the band? Like 7?
I wish. I was in...
You were what? Sorry.
Early 20s.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, so these songs, You're No Good and Evil Does It, are fucking great songs. Where did you record them? In Los Angeles, or did you record them in Texas?
In Los Angeles, okay. Yeah. Before I moved there, I actually flew back and forth a lot, like at least 6 or 7 times. And then when I decided to move there, we were on like the final stages of finishing up the record. So it was kind of like a full circle thing to like finish the record once I like moved out there.
Right. So when is the record coming out?
June 22nd of this summer.
June 22nd. Do you have a name for it yet?
Yeah, it's titled It's Dread.
It's Dread?
Uh-huh.
All right, so what made you move out to L.A.?
Well, me and Bailey, the drummer, always had a vision of moving out to California because, like, a lot of our favorite bands that we listened to, like, in college were all coming out of L.A. and, like, San Francisco. And so we just always had this, like, internal pact that we would, like, try it out someday. But she actually moved out here with her now husband, like he had other reasons to go, but she made it out before me. And then, once she finally moved out there, then I like got the comfortability to be like, okay, I'm going to go out there too. So I came like 3 years after, or 2 years after she moved.
Okay. Did you, what happened to the band? Like when she went to California,
Well, we just flew her in. So, like, we just would, because, like, plane tickets aren't that expensive if you fly Spirit. we basically just, we're already, like, a touring band, so it's already a lot of coordinating. So what we would do is just, like, fly her in do a practice the day before the show. And then it got, the toughest part of getting together was actually when I was living in Minneapolis, because we had to do a lot more coordinating, but that was all during the pandemic.
Why did you go to Minneapolis?
Cause my partner, is from there. Okay. And, I was going to go to California, but then stuff happened and I was like, I'll go to Minneapolis and try it out. But I knew it was like a temporary thing.
Yeah. It gets cold as shit there, man. That's the thing
Yeah, it's like, I love it. The cold is just like, it's a no.
Yeah, it's a total no. I live in Austin. It's like 35 degrees today. Both me and my dog would go out there and we're like, whoa, let's go back inside.
So it's 35 there today? That's cold.
Yeah, we're having a cold snap. So, okay. I'm glad that this record's coming out. You're going to tour in the spring. You've got like a pretty substantial tour in March. Pretty much March is touring.
Yeah, March. And then we're planning to tour in the summer, in like June and July, and then in the fall. But I can't announce that.
Okay. But no, that's great. I mean, you guys are like a working touring band.
Yeah. It'll be the busiest we've ever been, and especially it'll be kind of like the busiest we've ever been as a band, and the busiest we've been since the pandemic. So
there's, to me, I mean, you're still I really love your band and I love your songs, and I think yeah, I really do, and I love these videos that you put out. Like, both of them, they're so strikingly different for You're Not a God and Evil Does It. Like, such strikingly different styles of video to have, but both of them I really, really loved. I actually loved your dancing as well. But there seems to be, with these songs, as opposed to the songs you've put out before, these seem more accessible, both sonically and, I mean, they're still weird, but they're more accessible sonically and sort of like in the chorus world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially I would say these two ones are, I think I was trying to take a simplified approach to songwriting, because in the first songs I ever made, I was still like learning how to make songs. So I like, in the music I was listening to is a lot more like, I don't know, more complicated and more changes. And I thought that I should do that too. So now I think that these, I had much more in mind about how to layer things, like, rather than how to make a lot of song changes, or I don't know how to explain it.
How do you write? Do you write and record at the same time, or do you sit down with a single instrument and just write, or what's the deal here?
Every song's different, but I actually write mostly on bass and keys.
Oh, cool.
And then I'll put it down in GarageBand or Logic, and then I'll layer the instruments. But because I play guitar live, I play that live, but I actually sprinkle guitar in last on a lot of things. Or I'll take like the progressions I found on the synths and I'll translate that to guitar, and then find like a keyboard melody.
So you're essentially, you're like almost like playing while you're doing it. I have the same, you can't see it, but I have guitars and pianos and keyboards and recording equipment and stuff everywhere. But you can almost hear that in the music, that how much fun you're having doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is fun. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's go back. Where were you born?
I was born in Fort Worth.
All right. And what kind of family did you have? Like, what did your parents do and stuff?
My mom she retired. She's a school teacher. She taught English and the psychology.
Oh, cool.
But she was also like a dyslexia therapist for a long time. So she's very into words and literature. And then my dad was just a car body man for a long time. Now I work at Lockheed Martin.
Oh, cool.
Not musical. But he likes music, but she plays piano. He didn't play anything.
What did they listen to music in the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What were you listening to?
Neil Young,
yeah.
Steppenwolf, Wolf, Kenny Rocker, Pink Floyd, but not Dark Side of the Moon for some reason, like, which is ridiculous.
Why?
He's like not a fan of that part of Pink Floyd, which I think is so odd.
Huh. That is so odd. Their most celebrated time. But that happens to me. I think for me, I'm a huge Beatles fan, but like I'm not a huge fan of Sgt. Pepper, and I don't understand why people think that's the greatest album ever made, because I think they've got way better records.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this. So you're listening to all this music in your house, and what kind of like what kind of kid were you? Were you like one of those kids that's super weird and like lives in their head and reads a lot, or did you have like brothers and sisters? Or
well, I had a brother. I have a brother.
Yeah.
He's a few years older than me, and he's a musician. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. He's not in a band right now or anything because he's a dad now doing the dad thing. But he would have his Weezer/Toadies cover band practice in our garage. So I was the kid that would let them know if the parents were coming because they were like, you know, smoking weed and drinking beer in high school. So they called it the palace.
They called it what?
The practice space that they had was called the palace, and you could hide the beer. It was like an unfinished attic garage space, so you could easily like hide beer underneath the like floor panels and stuff.
Did you take inspiration from that and want to learn how to play and stuff?
So he actually in sixth grade he started teaching me like a few things, like Smoke on the Water and like a Toadies riff, and then like James Bond theme song. But when he tried to teach chords, and I can still remember them too. When he tried to teach me chords, I lost interest because it hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like, too hard. I'm not, like, I don't want to do it anymore. And so I didn't pick up the guitar again until I was like 20.
Wow. So what kind of music were you listening to then? Like, wait, did you want to learn Smoke on the Water?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I loved all those bands. I loved anything my brother liked. Like, the Vines, I remember, he was in that phase. But then that phase of being in sixth grade and him being in high school, I mean, he was working at a Hollister, so listening to, like, Yellow Card and, you know, like, the... I don't know what kind of genre, like the alt, almost going into the emo band. I don't know. I didn't play any instrument until college, like officially. But I would say like being around him and like seeing the band stuff, I think it subconsciously affected me and inspired me for sure.
Yeah. That kind of thing when you get to like getting to see people at a formative age having that bond together, and it's like a friend group, it's built in, there's multiple people that probably have some other friends too, so you can like socially get around, you know what I mean? And then you have people that everybody has the same interest, and that's so cool to be around. I loved that when I was a kid. Like, I just thought it was the coolest thing. Like, I had my first band like in junior high, and in that, like, I had like a family, you know, like friends, and you know what I mean? And bros, whatever. It was so cool. I love that whole that era of entering a band. Let me ask you this. So when you're in high school, what were you going to do like with your life? Like when you went to college, what was your idea of the aerial plan?
Oh, it's so funny because I thought that I would be a naturopathic doctor.
A what?
I thought I would get into like natural medicine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like, like holistic medicinal approach. I actually signed up to college for a degree in biology because you have to be pre-med, you have right. to be a biology major. And within a year, I changed to anthropology. So,
What was the dream then? When you changed to anthropology, what were you thinking you were going to do?
Well, that was when I picked up the guitar and everything was, oh yeah, I'm a musician. I'm not a doctor. Like,
when you picked the guitar back up, like what was going through your mind musically? Because you do have like, to me, your music is really unique and I can't pinpoint musically what a thing. Like I can't be like, oh, they're exactly like blank. But there are things in your music that are like in the spirit of Devo and early Roxy music and even on these new songs with like a cool dance beat with like weird shit going over it, like in the spirit of not sounding like the Talking Heads or something. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Yeah.
I love all those people.
Okay, good.
those are great references. Whenever I first picked up the guitar, I think I was like learning it. So it was kind of all a big experimentation. But I was listening to a lot of Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think a lot of David Bowie and like Pink Floyd. There was one, Beach House.
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly, Beach House was the first set of chords I learned for the song Saltwater. That's the ones that my friend Julia sat me down and was like, let's learn how to play this song. I'll teach you the chords. And it's like a really slow song. It's not like probably the first pick of what you would learn for your first like chord song, but we were listening to a lot of Beach House.
And something clicked when you did that?
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it was like a light bulb came off whenever I like put it together that I could play chords. And then I wrote poems like throughout since I was like really small. Like, so I had all of these stupid like books full of poems, but I realized that they're actually songs. But then once I picked up an instrument and realized, oh, like these poems can go over these like melodies and like instruments, and I was like, oh, I'm a songwriter. Right? That's what I was doing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a cool epiphany moment.
Yeah. So how did you get out there and start doing it? Did you start playing out by yourself with like a guitar at like the coffee house or open mics or some shit? Or did you put together a band or did you start recording or what the hell was going on?
I never did the coffee shop thing. I think in like, we had a house show once and I think when everyone was drunk at like 2 a.m. I went out there and did like three of my very loose songs, but no one was paying attention. But that was like the closest thing I got. But I actually started playing in a band called Mink Coats. I was playing keyboard for them. That was about 2 or 3 years after I first picked up the guitar and started playing keys and then lead guitar and like tambourine and backup vocals. But all through that time, I was jamming with all of these different dudes who are now in like who are still my friends today and are in different bands. But the whole time I was writing for my own project that I didn't have a name for, but I was recording in GarageBand, like on like compositions, like bass, keys, guitar.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I had it in my head ever since I picked up the guitar. I was like, I want my own band and I want it to be all girls. I don't know why, but I wanted that. And then like my first year of getting the confidence to play in Mink Coats, I met Bailey and Stephanie, and we jammed one night, and I was like, I think these are the girls I should ask. And I showed them like the first things that I had been working on, and those were the first songs we did, and then it just like went on from there.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, how did you guys end up, like, how did you get like on the road and just start touring? Like, you have a booking agent?
Now we do. I mean, it kind of goes in cycles. Cause sometimes you book a tour without one. Sometimes you book a tour with one, but in the beginning, we actually got on the road. I started the band in September, and by May of that like next year, we were already on our first West Coast tour ever. Wow. For a month. And I will give props to Charlie Beeman, who is our first and only non-girl member keyboardist. He was like our first keyboardist. He had toured before, and we were, you know, before he showed me that, oh, if you're going to tour, you book it yourself. Like, it's all about you booking it and getting yourself out there. You can't wait for someone to ask you. Like, you can make it happen. So he actually helped book the first tour ever because he'd done it before. And then we were like, oh, okay. Like, I thought it was like something where somebody had to like ask you, or like, I didn't realize you put all the effort in, and like anything you want to do, you make it happen.
Yeah. It's funny when that, when you try and find a way to say this, that is eloquent, but there's a thing that happens like when you realize like, oh, this isn't just like there, you have to have some sort of like forward ambition to achieve things in a business way, that when you start off just playing around with your friends and stuff, that's not even factored in. But there's that day, yeah, that the light comes on and you're like, oh shit, if I want to do this, I've got to really like, I got to own this shit and like get out, yeah, there and like slug it out. Was it, I mean, when you tour, it's just all of you ladies together?
Mm-hmm.
No tour manager lady or tour manager dude?
We've brought a photographer. Our best friend Ellie Alonzo, who's in a band called Sunbuzz. She's our favorite person and photographer. So she's been out on, I think, like three tours. Like, so she'll stay with us for like 2 weeks, and she'll also like act as like a, you know, like a merch person.
Yeah.
Too, but. Yeah, so far we've never had, we've always had different friends come to be like do merch and stuff who ultimately end up helping drive too. But I think this year is going to be different because we are kind of leveling up our professionality. We do have a manager now, so she wants to come, and we are working with like different agents. And we'll probably need a tour manager at some point too.
Yeah. Sound person.
That would be cool. I would love to have our own sound person, but I don't know if we can afford it yet, but when we can.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. It's just the fact that there's a band of people out there being able to tour. I mean, if you look over, that's a tough thing to do. You know what I mean? To get out there and tour, yeah, like that with more than one other person or by yourself. Think about how many solo people there are, how many like since the era of like the White Stripes, how many bands have, I mean, I know a lot of bands that are just two people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do, but I believe that it's out of necessity almost economically, because it's so unfeasible to get out there and yeah. do this in a band. It's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy. I know a lot of twofer bands that are like couples, you know?
Yeah. 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 Me too.
And they can just travel in their car and everything fits.
Yeah.
And they don't have to pay anyone else.
I don't know about that, man. Would you be able to tour with your partner and live with your partner and partner, like just do 24/7 partnership? That's too much, man.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do it like if it, like sometimes, I don't know. If there was more people, not just me and partner, no.
See, that's the part that always weirds me out when I meet like a couple, because I'm like, how do you fight if you're like on a bus with other people or in a van? Jesus Christ, can you imagine that? Just like that close quarters.
It's, you know that it's a good couple if they can contain it, like they're healthy, but not everybody is. And I have lived through that a few times with other people in projects where yeah. it can get pretty messy.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never done it. I've never dated a musician.
Oh, really?
I'm starting to wonder if it's because of my ego. Like I can't be in direct competition with the person I live with. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
I don't know.
I like only date musicians.
Oh, you do? I mean, most of my friends are like that. But
I didn't mean to. I swore him off too. I said I'm never dating a guitar player ever again, and now I am.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say now I'm dating a bass player. I watched some NPR video of you guys live. Is it still pretty much like that organic live? Like you're just 4-piece band playing live?
Mm-hmm.
No tracks. Kind of,
no tracks.
Okay.
Never.
I mean, look, I feel that way. Like I don't think anybody shouldn't use it. I just, for me,
yeah.
I didn't get into music, and I got into like a good portion, maybe a third of the reason why I got into doing this was for freedom. Now to have some mm-hmm. machine tell me whatever the fuck, how long I'm going to do anything, or if I, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to yuck anyone's yums on the backing track thing. I think it's necessary for some projects, but it also creates kind of a stagnancy, like where you can just tell it's very just, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It just loses, for me, it just loses that rawness.
Yes.
And I like that rawness of, oh my gosh, they might all fall apart on this section. You can't do that on a backing track because it's just a linear grid.
Yeah. So when you record, there's not a lot of time spent on like making things perfect and stuff like that. You leave the humanity in the music.
Yeah, I mean, I have some demos I've done where I would be more prouder than others if it got leaked into the world. I wouldn't be, say, embarrassed about that demo. I'd be like, because I even took time to mix it. But I think with a lot of my other demos, because I don't trust myself as a producer, and I want to work with a producer to breathe in and make it more of a professional sound recording, that in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to make this demo perfect because we're just going to get back in the studio and start from scratch and rebuild it. So if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be me lazy.
Yeah. I don't think you're lazy. Like, I mean, I've known you for all of 30 minutes, but I don't think you're lazy.
Great.
Or at least you fooled me. What do you want from a producer when you go work with someone? What are you wanting from them to give to you? If you've already got like recorded demos, how much changes or what are you looking for in someone bringing them into that partnership?
You know, just a person that is inspired by your idea, but here's a new part about it, like that you didn't hear. And I used to be a lot more, I think, afraid to let someone else like give me an idea or change like the tempo of the song, which has happened a lot of the times. The producers we've worked with have been like, okay, can we slow the song down, like, and make it really slow rather than all really fast? And now our last record, I really kind of embraced letting more ideas and suggestions. And even Bailey had to change like her drum beat on the spot a few times, like, because Thomas, who we worked with, be like, hey, what if you tried this? And it was uncomfortable for her to like switch real quick. Like not only are you on the spot, but she laid everything down first. So there's a lot of pressure. And then she also is not used to playing that drum part. But we were very open towards like ideas and suggestions. Thomas is like a harmony master. And I don't hear harmonies. I guess I just hear doubling melodies or something. I don't know. I didn't wrap my brain around his harmonies. Suggestion.
Yeah.
Was really hard. There was one song in particular that he had a harmony idea and I did it, but it took me like an hour to wrap my head around it.
Totally.
And it was making me so mad, but I'm so glad that he had that idea, because it really makes the song a lot more dreamy and a lot more like groovy. So
yeah, I have a thing where I can sing whatever harmony I think of for myself and multiple parts even, but mm-hmm. if someone assigns me a harmony part, it's like all of a sudden they're speaking, you know, some Asian language that I have no grasp of what the fuck they're talking about.
It's hard. It's like training your brain to work a different way.
Right. Well, especially if like I assume you're self-taught pretty much. I'm self-taught and you are the lead singer. Fuck, do you care about harmony? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's someone else's problem.
It's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the others get to have fun with that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Ariel, do you have to go? Do you have to leave?
No, I'm good.
Okay,
I'm
good. Great. I wanted to ask some questions about coming up in that sort of like Denton music scene, because there is like a psych vibe to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Is that from coming up? Because I when I think of Denton, I think of either like hardcore North Texas jazz dudes playing in 13. Mm-hmm. Or I think of party bros, like some psychedelic shit going on, like psychedelic bands.
What was the name of the band? Marty Bros?
No. I just said party bros. That's not an actual band.
Okay. Like, I haven't heard of them. when I first moved to Denton, I went to UNT there. Okay. So I did the whole dorm room experience, and I went to my first house show like the first month of college, and my world really opened up completely. Like, I remember just feeling like a whole new world had opened up when I went to my first house show, because I was like, wow, like, this is amazing. I didn't know that this was a possibility, and just like how many people were there. And at the time it was a lot of folk and math rock. And I started smoking weed in high school, but that's when I started getting into like classic rock and Pink Floyd and stuff. But so that, like, you know, being in your formative years of college, for me, it was influenced by psychedelia, and those were the types of bands I naturally gravitated to. And there was a few bands that were, I remember the River Mouse was like one of the first that I saw at a house show too, and I was like, whoa. And I never knew what happened to them, but they had an effect on me. And the other band that I got to play keys in was a psychedelic band. And then you had, I'm blanking right now. I've also been on a cruise for a week, so I'm a little loopy.
Oh, really? Where'd you go?
I went to Cozumel in the Cayman Islands.
Oh, sweet. How was it?
Yeah, so I was on a boat, kind of. It was really fun.
Yeah? How are cruises now post-COVID? Are they weird at all?
Yeah, they're like, I mean, I've been on one about 8 years ago, and the only thing different I could really tell was there was more, like, talk about sickness and germs. I think norovirus is a concern on the ship that I just went on, because I guess the last ship had that, so it's weird that, like, health concerns are more, like, you know, posted everywhere, and they're like, people's guts, like, had gut problems on this last ship, so wash your hands. But the thing the most was just the buffet. Like, you can't go up to the buffet and serve yourself anymore. There's an attendant. You have to, like, awkwardly be like, can I have this and this and that, but not too much of this, please. Right. Like, oh, you did.
Kind of defeats the whole purpose of the magic of the buffet.
Yeah.
The smorgasbord.
Lots of lines, lots of waiting. I don't know if that really changed, though.
Did you see music people or magicians or comedians?
I saw music people. I saw a few comedians. I never made it to one of the big theater shows because at night I was just so tired that's when everything happened. And honestly, I just went to the casino or went to bed. But I saw a rendition of Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back, all done a cappella with a piano. That was a highlight.
That seems like that would be kind of cool if it was done right.
It was funny. And everyone there is over age 70 and above, so they did not get it. They were, and I just loved watching them feel uncomfortable. It was awesome.
That's insane. So you like cruises. You just did you go with your family, or was your idea to go on a cruise?
I went with my boyfriend's family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they had their 40th wedding anniversary, so they wanted the whole family to come, so they got a free cruise.
Does your boyfriend plays guitar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has his own band?
Yeah.
You guys ever do anything together musically?
Yeah, whenever we're long distance right now, but whenever we live together in Texas and Minneapolis, we would jam together. But he's one of those people that has a million different projects and he is actively pursuing them, but he records a lot of music. So there's I forget what the name of this project was, but I did some backup vocals and main vocals. But will they ever come out? I don't know.
Nice. Do you, now that you're out in California and in kind of the middle of things, are you like pursuing trying to get like a publishing deal? Like, do you have any interest in writing with other people or for other people or anything like that?
I totally would.
Yeah.
I had more free time just because I'm kind of still, there's a lot of stuff that goes into releasing an album. And if I had more work-life balance, I would be pursuing figuring out how to get into that world.
What's your work, if you don't mind my asking?
I am just your local bartender.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Dude, that's a good job to have.
Yeah, it's the most flexible thing for a musician, so.
Yeah.
That's just way.
Allows you to go out and go on tour, take a month off, and go do your whole thing. Your family is still your family's still in Denton?
They're in Fort Worth.
In Fort Worth, okay. Oh, so you moved to Denton to go to school?
Yep.
Okay, okay. And you guys are you're going to be playing on March 11th at the Three Links 10-year anniversary in Dallas, on March 10th in Denton at Rubber Gloves Rehearsal Studio. On March 12th in Houston at the Continental Club, and then South by Southwest, March 16th, 17th, and 18th, doing four showcases. Shit, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a good year.
Yeah. Well, I will look out for you guys and try and come and see you. Are you, you're not doing, you obviously four shows in Austin for South by Southwest. You're probably not going to come back for another one for a while, huh?
We come back to Austin a lot. Austin is like my if I didn't move to LA, I would have moved to Austin. Austin is our favorite city to play in. So, for the summer tour, like the one that we actually released the record in, we're definitely coming to Austin.
Okay. Is there a place that you normally play here, or do you just play different places every time?
It differs, but like, we played the most recent. Well, we've played at Hotel Vegas for Levitation. We've played Far Out Lounge. Mm-hmm. Our friends, so we like playing there. I haven't played Cheer Up Charlie's in a while, but I would like to go back there.
Yeah, I love that place.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it outside.
Yeah. I love that outside. Cool. Yeah. When I moved to Austin in like 1991, that was a place called Chances. And it was such, like, the person that owned it was super cool. They were like one of the first people here in town that kind of let me do my own trip on, have a night there and stuff on like a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that place. All of the different places it's been, I've always gone there because I love it.
Yay.
Well, Ariel, I hope to come see you guys, hopefully get into something when you're here during South by Southwest. I'll be out running around, but I'm going to make a list of all the people I'd like to see, and this will probably go up in a few weeks, but people can find you guys, Pearl Earl, at pearlearl.com. Your latest singles, You're Not a God and Evil Does It, are available now with fantastic videos to go along with it. The album, It's Dread, will drop on June 22nd. Is there anything I'm missing?
No. No. Sounds good.
Thanks for reaching out.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's been really nice to meet you. When you sent your music, like, it's funny because I do listen to it. Sometimes it takes me a little while, but like, I listen to it, and sometimes I you know, someone sends you something and you're like, oh fuck, what is this gonna be? You know what I mean? And then you put it on and you're like, come back in the room and you're like, what? This is awesome. But I really got that from you. And I really, really love your music. I'm like a huge, like, Roxy Music guy, and like all those bands that you kind of seem like you come from the same family tree.
Cool. Yeah.
Well,
thanks so much. And Mark from Greenwich had sent me your way. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he's a fan.
He has really good taste in music. Like, I've talked to a couple of people on that label. What is that? Before we go, what does the label provide for you guys as a band? Like, what in 2023, what is an indie label? I know they're all able to provide different things, but they're not all what traditional labels were able to provide. What does Greenwich bring to the table for you guys?
Well, I would say first and foremost, enthusiasm and support. Which is really nice when you're putting out a record to hear how great the record is and that somebody believes in you.
Yeah.
But he set up basically the Wax Mage in the seven, like, because we're doing all of this, this pre-order of records. Oh, and that's something for everyone. We have a pre-order, and if once it runs out of those records, they're gone forever, and they're all custom on Wax Mage, with all cool colors. But he set that up for us. We didn't have to, like, put any money up front.
Right. So you're able they're able to get you into some stuff you wouldn't be able to do financially.
Totally, yeah. And it works out for everyone. Everyone, you know, gets a percentage. And then he also got us a 7-inch situation, which was really important for us to put anything out, because it had been 3 years. And so and we didn't put anything out on a 7-inch before. So that was cool. And then he actually, Preston Spurlock, the person that did the You're Not a God music video, is actually one of his friends that he wanted to do the video, because we didn't have anything going for it. And he made us a video in like 2 weeks. And then he's also, you know, helped with different PR outlets too.
That's great.
They're just like, there's so much that goes behind the business and the promotion and release of a record. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's nice to see people. I noticed it here in Austin. There's a lot of indie labels coming up. And you know those guys aren't making, you know, they're not making the money David Geffen made in the 70s and 80s. But they are such fans of music. I love that someone's coming in with that kind of enthusiasm and doing it just for the love of making music, you know? Mm. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, are you there?
Yeah, am I there?
Okay, yeah. All right, well, Ariel, this has been really good talking to you. And hold on, sorry, I got to put this edit point. It's been really good talking to you, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you guys during South by Southwest. Oh, wait, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
if you want into any of our shows, let me know.
Oh, I will. Thank you. I'll stay in touch.
You're getting a little happy, but yeah, I'll put you on the list.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, of course.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. That was Ariel Hartley from Los Angeles-based art rock band Pearl Earl. See them here in Austin during South by Southwest, or they'll be touring around Texas March 10th, 11th, and 12th at Houston, Dallas, and Denton. Go to pearlearl.com and find them there, or follow them on Instagram at Pearl Earl Music. Had a really great cut. That was a great time talking to Ariel. She's a really talented woman. I want to thank Greenwich Recordings for sending people my way. I think what they're doing is really cool. Let's be friends. If you guys are coming to South by Southwest, hit me up. Ariel, I hope I get to meet you at South by Southwest. Everyone go check out Pearl Earl. What a fucking cool band. Their videos are great. Music's great. Their live show, I bet, is fucking amazing. PearlEarl.com. And don't forget, gang, when you're out there checking out PearlEarl.com, you can follow us and subscribe to our podcast. We've got about putting out 2-3 shows a week sometimes. God damn, man, it's crazy. You can follow us. Our shows are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday, and even more, okay? Thanks for listening to the show. Here's the rest of the song, You're Not a God, by the band Pearl Earl. Go find them at PearlEarl.com. Have a great weekend. Whatever it is you're doing, let's get down.